Now, if he started outwardly to use the transceptive more, but then he carried it inward. Now, for some reason, he didn't see how destructive it was.
Why? Why? Why not? Why? Why have fairly intelligent philosophers and religious people who have spent their great part of their great life in a, you know, why haven't they seen this very simple thing? The great intellectuals and the so-called evolutionary concept and so on, why haven't they seen this simple fact that where there is accumulation, there must be more?
Yes, well, they've seen that, but they don't see any harm in it.
Wait, no, I'm not sure they see it.
Right. Well, they've seen that they're trying to get more, you see, they're saying, we're trying to get a better life, you see. During the 19th century, it was the century of progress.
Progress, I understand.
Improving all the time.
All right. But yeah, progress outwardly.
But they felt inwardly, too, that man would be improving himself inwardly.
But why haven't they ever questioned this?
Well, yes. Well, what would make them question it?
Obviously, this constant struggle for them all.
Yeah, but they felt that was a sign of, that was necessary for progress, you see.
But is that progress?
Yeah, well, I mean, can we make it clear, you see? Suppose you had to answer one of the 19th century optimists, you know, who said man is progressing all the time to be better inwardly as well as outwardly.
Yes. Let us admit outwardly.
Yeah, he could do it. Right?
Could outwardly. Is that same outward urge to be better has moved into the psychological realm?
Yes. Now, can we make it clear why it does harm in the psychological realm?
The harm is, wait a minute, let's think it out. The harm. What's the harm in accumulating psychologically? Oh, yes. It divides.
Oh. What does it divide?
The very nature of accumulation brings about a division between you and me and they and so on.
Yeah, could we make that clear? Because, you know, it's a crucial point. I mean, I can see one thing, that suppose you accumulate in your way and I accumulate
that
in my way.
And he accumulates another way.
And then we try to impose a common way of accumulating and
which
more
is impossible.
Conflict. That's conflict,
that,
right?
That never takes place.
Yes, I mean, they say everybody should be moral and ethical.
Yes, yes. I have accumulated psychologically as a Hindu. Right?
Yes.
And another is accumulated as a Muslim.
Yeah, you know, there's thousands of divisions. I mean,
thousands of divisions.
Because you could say in one profession or another, in one
thousands
place,
of divisions.
Really, yeah, to live in
therefore,
one place or another.
Accumulation is in its very nature divides people.
Yeah, because each accumulates.
And therefore conflict.
Yeah, each person accumulates in his particular way, right, and which is different from somebody else. Right? You cannot make a common way of accumulating.
Can't we? Well, so let's all accumulate.
But it doesn't work, you see, that, because everybody already has a different
of course.
Relationship, no matter what you do.
So, can we say then, the in accumulation, man has sought psychological security, and that security, with its accumulation, is the factor of human division, psychologically.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, any attempt to accumulate will divide. I mean, I think even that occurs in some sociological studies, like Karl Marx, who said that it was this accumulation of capital by
capital,
some people which divided them from other people and that started tremendous conflict.
So, we said that's why human beings have accumulated, not realizing its consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm?
And realizing that, is it possible not to accumulate?
Yes, well that's...
I mean, that's a tremendous...
Yes, because it seems the human mind automatically accumulates.
I know. Why? For this very clear and simple reason, in accumulation, as outwardly, it feels safe, secure.
Yeah. Well, perhaps you could say that having gotten into this trap, it was very hard for the mind to get out because it was already occupied. The mind is filled with this process of accumulation, and
yes,
it becomes very hard to see
now,
anything.
Suppose my mind is filled with this process of occupation, which is psychological knowledge, can it end?
Yes.
Of course it can.
Well, if the mind will get to the root of it.
Of course it can. Mm-hmm. Which is that there is no, it is an illusion that in accumulation they're secure.
Yes, well now one can see this at a certain level. Let's say one discusses this, I don't intellectually, but I would prefer to say as a map, you see, that one has drawn a map of this whole process. And the question is to, and when you have a map, you must now be able to look at the country and see what's on the map, right?
Yes. When you're looking at the map, you don't see the country.
No, the map may be useful, but it's not enough, right? But now we were saying that desire is what keeps people going on with it. Right?
Not only desire, but this deep-rooted instinct to accumulate.
Like the squirrel.
Huh?
The squirrel, yeah.
For future, for safety. That and desire go together. Right?
Well, it builds up into intense desire, right?
Of course. So desire plus accumulation is the factor of division, conflict, and all the rest of it.
Yeah, because you could say desire really means, the root of the word means need, you see. A person feels he must accumulate more because he needs more.
Needs, yes. Now I'm asking, can that end? If it ends through an action of will, it is still the same thing.
Well, that's part of desire.
Of course. If it ends because of punishment or reward, it's still the same thing. So, the mind, one's mind, sees this and puts all that aside. Right? But does the mind be free of accumulation?
Yeah. Well, I think that...
I think it can.
Mm-hmm.
It does. That is, have no psychological knowledge at all. Knowledge is accumulation, and so on.
Yes, and I think that the knowledge goes very, I have to consider that knowledge goes very much further than what it's ordinarily meant. That
of course, of course. I mean,
not just
book knowledge,
book or
no, no,
knowledge,
experience. But, of course.
But. You see, I think that the in accumulating, for example, if you're getting knowledge of this microphone, then you build up an image, a picture of the microphone, and everything goes into that, and one expects it to continue, right?
Of course.
So if you have knowledge of yourself, it builds up a picture of yourself.
Can one have knowledge of oneself?
No, but if you think you have.
Hallelujah.
I mean, if one thinks that there is knowledge about what sort of person you are, that builds up into a picture with the expectation.
But after all, if you have knowledge of yourself, you have built an image already.
That's right, yes. But that's the same, that the tendency is to say that there's a transfer of what you do with the outside, saying, as you observe this microphone, you build up knowledge, and that enters into your picture of it and your perception of it. Then you say, I do the same with myself, that I know the sort of person I should be or I am. And it builds up. You see that there's a lot of accumulation that builds up in forms that we don't ordinarily call knowledge. For example, preferences,
yes,
likes and dislikes. But
once you realize psychological accumulation as knowledge is an illusion and destructive and causes infinite pain and misery. It's when you see it's finished.
Yeah, I was trying to say that when you say that, then the question is, very often now, the word knowledge does not convey all that has to be included.
Of course, of course.
You see, I could say, okay, I know certain things are knowledge, and it's foolish to build up that kind of knowledge about myself. But then there may be other kinds of knowledge which I don't recognize as knowledge. You see, I say that's...
What other kinds of knowledge that one has? Preferences, like and dislike.
Yes.
Prejudice,
habits, you know.
Habit, the all that is in the image that one has created.
Yes.